This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
GM may not want to light up the sparklers just yet.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski, in for Steve Chiatakis. It's time to fire up the grill, eat some potato or macaroni salad, maybe both. But executives at GM may not be in the party mood. Heading into this holiday weekend, the company's waiting for a decision in its hearing on whether it'll get its independence from Chapter 11. Marketplace's Jennifer Collins has more.
The 4th of July comes at a rather inconvenient time this year for General Motors.
Yeah, this is one of those times when you almost wish that there wasn't a long break.
Paul Eisenstein follows the company for the DetroitBureau.com. General Motors wants to divide the company. It'll sell off shuttered factories and brands that aren't selling well, like Hummer and Saturn. And it'll keep the good assets, brands like Chevrolet and GMC, and factories that make cars that still sell.
And all of a sudden, you've got this new company that is much slimmed down, and basically all the bad stuff goes, well, I think technically the term is bye-bye.
U.S. Judge Robert Gerber adjourned the hearing yesterday with no word on when he'll make a decision. The government has said if GM is not cleared by next Friday, it can walk away from its pledge to back the company. A ruling could easily be held up by creditors or unions. Either way, Eisenstein says it's unlikely the Obama administration will let the company fail. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
Several states failed to come up with a budget this week, and as Marketplace's Steve Henn reports, local governments are about to feel the pain.
It's been a tough year for many counties and cities. Property tax revenues crumbling while demand for social services is soaring. But Chris Haney at the National League of Cities says these problems are likely to get worse as state governments across the country grapple with their own crippling financial problems.
Well, it is trickling down. I think the depth of the recession and the impact on state budgets, which is very severe, inevitably means that local programs are likely to bear some of the burden.
Haney says education's likely to be particularly hard hit. But Bill Yule, the mayor of Alexandria, says education cuts are the tip of the iceberg.
Reductions in pension funding, reductions in funding for public safety, sheriff and court services, and mental health and health programs.
And that leaves local leaders with a couple unappealing choices. Either raise taxes or cut services dramatically. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Wall Street is closed today ahead of Independence Day, and markets didn't react too well to yesterday's June jobs report, showing unemployment's now at 9.5%. The S&P lost nearly 3%. The Dow lost 223 points, more than 2.5% to close at 8280 yesterday. The Nasdaq down 2. Right now in Europe, shares are mostly lower, and major markets in Asia had a down day. It relieves stress and it's good for your health with protein and B2. That was the message behind a beer commercial that aired yesterday in North Korea, probably the first time that's happened. Normally, ads on TV aren't allowed, though Kim Jong-il, the North Korean leader, apparently enjoys beer.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by ConAgra Foods, the people behind brands like Marie Callender's, Hunt's, and Ready Whip. More at conagrafoods.com.
As you may have heard already, a public memorial service for Michael Jackson is set for Tuesday morning in Los Angeles at the Staples Center. Until news of Tuesday's service, there was a lot of talk a memorial would happen at Jackson's former home, Neverland. The Neverland Ranch is now in the hands of L.A. firm Colony Capital. There's still a lot of talk about turning the property in Santa Barbara County into an attraction similar to Graceland, the home of Elvis. We're joined now by Robert Rasmussen. He's dean at the USC Law School.
Thanks for being here.
Great to be here, Anita.
The company, Colony Capital, that owns the mortgage to the Neverland property, do they have the right to go ahead and make this a tourist attraction?
No. As with every landowner, you're subject to zoning restrictions. I would doubt if this were zoned for business. And then you also have to worry about the traffic. If you wanted to develop the property where you had a lot of people going there all the time, you'd have to really develop the whole infrastructure around the area to handle that influx of visitors.
And Graceland attracts about 600,000 tourists a year.
Right.
And the estimates on Neverland being an attraction is a lot more, something like a million, I think I read in one place.
It's anybody's guess now. It's difficult to make projections of the future today, given the intense excitement that's been generated by the passing of Michael Jackson. What the actual demand's going to be a year from now, 2 years from now, is really anyone's guess.
So how would you explain the challenges here?
The challenge for the handlers of the Jackson estate is that, you know, when you die, basically your debts are due and owing. So they owe somewhere between $400 or $500 million. They have a lot of assets. They have the Neverland Ranch, the interest in the Beatles catalog, the interest in Michael Jackson's own catalog, and the likeness of Michael Jackson. All these are valuable assets, but that's all value based on money that's coming in the future. So the challenge is, how do you take this future revenue stream and find a way to use that to satisfy the current debts?
Have you seen anything else that parallels the situation?
I think Michael Jackson is unique in so many levels. Even Graceland, I don't think, is a good parallel in the sense that at least Graceland, we always knew that was Elvis's house. That's where Elvis would retreat to. That's where Elvis lived. Michael Jackson hasn't lived in Neverland for years. Neverland, I think, has a bit more checkered persona than Graceland did.
And, of course, that's, I guess, part of the draw for some people.
It's part of the draw, and it's a very, I think, difficult decision. How are you going to maximize the value of Neverland? Remember, Michael Jackson is basically a very complex business enterprise, and we're now in a situation where that enterprise needs a restructuring. Is the family going to be able to get someone to come in and lend them new, fresh money in order to pay off their current debts?
Robert Rasmussen is Dean of the USC Gould School of Law. Thanks so much for joining us again.
Thanks, Anita. It's my pleasure.
No day off for the Marketplace team. Be sure to tune in for a great show this afternoon as well. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Have a nice weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.